Well, we want to spend a few minutes now revisiting a story from a few years back, because last week we noticed a lot of people visiting it online. Reggie Shaw's story is being featured in the MTV show One Bad Choice, and in Reggie's case, it was a terrible one, texting and driving. It was 2006 in Utah. He was 19, sending a text to his girlfriend when he clipped an oncoming car, which swerved, striking another vehicle, killing two men. But he didn't even remember texting at first. We spoke to Reggie in 2012. Through a long process of accepting what he'd done, he'd become an activist, speaking to young people, advocating for tougher laws. In Utah, his home state, you can get up to 15 years in prison if you kill someone while driving and texting. Much of Reggie's story is about himself, but much of it is about the two men he killed.
They were Keith O'Dell and James Fafaro. Two husbands and fathers that were headed to work.
Senior scientists designing rocket boosters, instantly dead. You didn't admit at first that you were texting. In fact, you lied.
To be honest, I didn't know what happened at the time. It wasn't until I myself saw the phone records and I saw them and I said, yeah, I did. I was texting.
A cop suspected that you'd been texting, as did a victim's advocate who happened to know one of these two men. They somehow got your phone records. Again, you still held you weren't texting, but then when you saw them, you admitted it, and you stood up at a hearing in 2008. What happened? Like, what happened in that moment when you blurted out, I did this?
I'll tell you a little about myself and the way I drove before the accident. I texted all the time when I drove. It's something that I did almost every time I got behind the wheel. And I, for whatever reason, I thought that it was okay. I didn't think that anything bad would ever happen to anyone. And it was just a habit. It was just something that I did. At the time of the accident, I like I said, I didn't know what happened. And the hearing came around and I saw those phone records and I saw that I had been texting, and I sit down in court, and I remember I looked at my family on one side in the courtroom, and I looked at the other side, and there were the other two men's families, and the two men were not there with their family. And it's then that it hit me. Yes, you know, you were texting while you were driving, and what you're doing right now, prolonging this, dragging this on, is selfish. It is wrong. And, you know, that's when I came forward and I said, you know what? I was texting while driving. And it was a terrible mistake. And it's something that I'll regret for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you were 19 years old when the accident happened. These hearings are a couple of years later. You know, you're now 2021. Yeah. I mean, can you explain what that feels like to realize, oh, my God, I didn't pull a trigger. You know, I didn't mean to do anything, but I took two lives.
It's the most difficult thing that anybody could ever live with. And the thing that is the worst is that it's preventable. I could have shut my phone off. I could have set it to the side. I could have waited another 2 or 3 minutes until I was at work. It did not have to happen.
Yeah. Do you lay awake at night and try to roll it back? Do you ever, you know, think, you know, try to rewind it?
Every day.
Yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't regret this decision. Yeah. I don't wish I could go back and change what I did.
Well, instead, you're trying to change other behaviors. Now, let's start with what the law was in Utah at the time, because it differs from state to state. And in some states, you know, you can't be convicted of doing something reckless unless you knew it was reckless. Were you convicted of negligent homicide? Because that's a misdemeanor. And in order for that to have happened, the prosecution would have had to show that you knew of the dangers or should have known of the dangers of texting while driving. So in pleading guilty, did you plead guilty to two counts of negligent homicide?
Yes.
Yeah.
In sentencing, we agreed to a deal. And the deal was that I served 30 days in jail. I did 200 hours community service, talking to youth, talking at high schools, and there was some other small things involved. I had to read the book Les Miserables.
I mean, some would say that's all you got? 30 days in jail, you know, a couple hundred hours of community service and reading a book?
I get asked that all the time, and that's a difficult question for me to answer. My time in jail is, you know, it may seem like that was not a lot of time, but that was a very difficult experience for me, and a time that I sat and reflected and thought about what I had done. And, you know, I was grateful for the opportunity that I got to do my community service. At the time, it was difficult. It was hard to understand. I didn't enjoy speaking publicly. I wasn't good at it. And it's something that I continue to do now, and I'll continue to do forever, because I owe it to those two families, and I owe it to society.
Well, meantime, another thing that you did is help change the law. Because, as you said, there was no specific texting and driving law, so people were left with the existing negligent homicide laws. You testified before lawmakers who were considering a tougher texting and driving law, and if I'm reading accounts right, they weren't paying attention. This had been tried before. It hadn't passed in Utah. In fact, a lot of the lawmakers were texting. And then you said what?
You know, I just went in. I told them what happened and explained to them that this is a serious problem, that this is as dangerous as anything that you could do behind the wheel, that a law is going to prevent families from losing their loved ones. And the people don't have to go through what I've put people through, and that I regret it every single day, and that a law is going to help prevent that.
When you talk to teenagers, I mean, it's so hard. Everybody thinks, in fact, research shows that people think texting is awful when other people do it. Nobody thinks they're the one that's doing the thing that's wrong. How do they respond when you talk to them?
Well, when I talk to kids, I just try to make the point of saying, look, I was you. That was me. I'm, you know, I grew up in a small town. I had a normal childhood, normal life, and I never thought that I would do anything that would hurt or harm myself or anyone else. And, you know, I made this decision that I regret forever, and that could very easily be them. And I really try to pound that into their heads that, look, this is, it's been almost 6 years. It's difficult for me every single day, every day, and it's never going to get easier. And they need to realize that they're one text message away from that being them. A lot of times I get those kids, they come up and talk to me after, and, you know, they say thank you, which is something that helps me a lot. When I get someone that can come to me and say, you know what, you changed the way that I drive, then, you know, it makes me think, you know what, I might have saved somebody's life today. And that helps me. That helps me cope with the terrible things that I've done.
Reggie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.